RV, emisora virtual de la UNAD para la audiencia global en línea.
Starting systems. Mainframe activated. Updating network. Downloading news. Facing cultures. Looking out for language tips. Rewriting literature. Turning on entertainment. Drawing up opinions. Rebooting learning. Ready? Set. Go.
Go.
You're listening to In Build On Air.
Hello everybody, bienvenidos a In Build On Air, programa del Instituto Virtual de Lenguas de la Universidad Nacional Abierta y a Distancia.
Somos Joana Mante, Daniel Silbert y quien les habla, Carolina Rojas, tutores del Instituto Virtual de Lenguas.
Hello everyone, hope everyone is having a fantastic morning and I hope you all enjoy this program that we have for you today.
Hola Daniel. Hola Daniel. Daniel ha traído a la mesa de In Build On Air a unos invitados muy, pero muy especiales. Ellos son Cory Seeler de Fulbright, que nos está contando, que nos va a contar un poco acerca de su experiencia en la institución. Hello, Cory.
Hello, everyone.
Listo, muy bien. Carito.
Ok. Today we have different people in this program. Bueno, hoy tenemos en nuestra mesa unos invitados muy especiales que nos trae Daniel Silbert y quienes hoy nos contarán sobre Fulbright, ¿cierto? Y también sobre la Fundación Project Baseball. Entonces, bueno, hoy estaremos hablando de estos dos grandes temas, un brochazo apenas, ¿no? Porque esto nos da para hablar mucho, pero hoy nos vamos a enterar un poco y por eso también... queremos invitarlos a que estén muy participativos con el hashtag Pregúntele al Experto y pues nos hagan preguntas sobre este tema de Fulbright y oportunidades de estudio en el exterior.
All right, so as they said, I have some guests for all of you today. To my left, I have Cody Tyler. Cody, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Daniel. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, thank you. So my friend Cody here is a becario, a grantee of the Fulbright program, as am I. Cody, do you want to introduce yourself real quick?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Cody. I'm from California, from the west coast of the United States. I studied political science and English literature at Tulane University. And together with Daniel, I've been here in Bogota for about 9 months now, almost 10 months, teaching English. I teach at the Universidad EXI in Tusaquillo.
What is that?
Stands for Escuela Colombiana de Carreras Industriales.
Ah, okay, great. All right, Cody, well, thank you for being here. Fun fact for our listeners, Cody went to Tulane University. And not only did I grow up a few blocks from Tulane University, but both of my parents and my sister attended there and have degrees from there as well. So mm-hmm.
That's why even though me and Daniel only met in Colombia, we immediately felt as if we'd known each other for many years.
Yes, yes. All right, Cody. So as I mentioned, Cody and I are part of a program called Fulbright. Fulbright is a program that was created by the United States Congress in 1948 in order to further international cooperation in education and understanding.
Billy J. Fulbright. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yes, after Senator William Fulbright. And so that is what Cody and I are in Colombia doing, furthering international education and cooperation as English teachers and cultural ambassadors.
That's exactly right, Dan. Mm-hmm.
So, Cody, why don't you walk me through a little bit of what you do here in Colombia, how your experience is going, and sort of, you know, how you kind of act in your role as a Fulbright grantee.
I'd be happy to, Daniel. So there's two types of Fulbright grantees. There's research research grantees, and then there's English teaching assistants, which is what me and you are. And English teaching assistants, we help with English teaching at different universities in Colombia. So at my university, I work about 25 hours a week. I go to different classes all the way from sort of basic English students to more advanced students who are studying sort of anthropology and things like that. And I teach classes and lead conversation clubs and things of that nature to sort of give them the perspective of a native English speaker.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you. So something that I think our listeners might be interested in is why you chose to come to Colombia. People in the Fulbright program can apply to live in over 100 different countries, but Cody and myself both applied to only Colombia. Cody, why did you choose Colombia?
That's a great question, Daniel. I chose Colombia for a few reasons. So the Fulbright program here is one of the largest and most established of the different Fulbright programs. There's almost 100 English teaching assistants around the country through Fulbright. And I also chose Colombia because I had heard such great things about it. It's such a lovely country, beautiful place with very kind people. A few of my friends had lived here at times in the past and had told me how great it was. And I chose it because there's a really strong cycling culture here. I'm a big cyclist. I like to ride my bike. And I knew that Colombia had a strong culture of bike riding. Mm-hmm. So that was part of my decision as well.
Yeah. Well, I definitely identify with the hearing from friends who had been to Colombia. I think something that every American who has been to Colombia has in common is that they go back and tell people about how much they loved it.
Mm-hmm. And more are coming these days, it mm-hmm. seems like. I know you've had a few friends visit.
I've had lots of friends, and I think everyone that visits Colombia from the United States ends up becoming an ambassador for Colombia just because it's such a fantastic place. And I don't think very few people come here and don't have an amazing experience.
Absolutely.
I know I, for certain, will be a big advocate for this country when I return. So you mentioned cycling. I certainly know that you are a serious cyclist, or at least as you like to think. Now I understand that you like to time yourself riding up patios and are quite competitive among the local Colombian cyclists. Do you wanna maybe touch on that?
Yeah, sure. There's a hill here in Bogota called Patios. That's to the east of the city. It's very famous. I read some article that says about 8,000 cyclists climb it every Sunday when the most cyclists are out because they close down some streets here every Sunday. So there's thousands of people up there every weekend, and I do like to climb it pretty regularly. And I'm going to be modest. You know, I won't share my time, but
what is your fastest time?
I don't like to share that information. I'm going to stay modest here.
I believe it's published.
It's quite fast
on a platform. People can see on
listeners
social media.
Can trust me that it's quite fast.
All right. If one of our listeners wanted to find your times on Patios, how might they do that?
They could look on Strava. I've climbed Patios in 24 minutes was my best time, which I'm quite proud of.
Thank you. More than my best time. All right. So let's go back to talking about, well, no, there's actually one more thing about cycling that I wanted to ask about. I understand that during Semana Santa, you biked to Santa Marta. Is that true?
I did, with another Fulbright grantee. A little shout out to Sarah Pitts. Me and her took off on Friday before the Holy Week, and we biked from Bogota to Santa Marta, so to the Caribbean coast, in 6 days. And it was really fun. It was a great trip. It seems sometimes like Colombian people, when you tell them about trips like that, are more kind of surprised by it than American people, because I think Colombian people have this different perception about traveling, especially by land in the country. But it was a great trip. We did 4 days on bike and 2 days on boat. And yeah, it was a fantastic time.
But why?
Because we had to get to the beach somehow.
Great answer. Great answer. Siempre frugal. All right. So unfortunately, I don't know if our listeners know this. Our program that we are here with ends in about a month. I will be returning to the United States. Cody will be leaving Colombia as well. Cody, what, when you leave, do you think you are going to miss most about Colombia?
That's a hard question. I've become very fond of Colombia, and especially of Bogota, in the last few months. It's going to be hard to leave behind, just to go off the top of my head, all the good food, all the good street food. I'm going to miss being able to get empanadas and arepas everywhere I go, fresh squeezed orange juice. I'm going to miss the cycling, obviously. And I'm going to miss mostly, I think, all the people I've met here, all my students and all the kind of Colombian friends I've made who have made this experience so good. What about you, Daniel? What are you going to miss?
Yeah, well, I will definitely miss Inville the most. No, but I definitely agree with the food as well. I've become fond of a lot of fruits that don't exist in the United States.
You can't really bring them back.
Lulo, maracuya. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be hard to find.
What about aguardiente?
I don't know if I've tried that. And then as well the mountains. Not because I want to bike up them. I more enjoy just looking at them.
They are nice to look at.
But that's something I will definitely miss as well. All right, Cody. Well, thank you for sharing with our listeners today. Very
thank
much
you,
appreciate
Daniel.
It and appreciate you being here.
It's been a pleasure.
All right.
Thank you so much. Bueno, por acá nos están escuchando y nos mandan muchos saludos. El grupo de Invil de Bogotá, y bueno, a nivel nacional también tenemos profes que montan bicicleta, biciusuarios que se van al trabajo en bicicleta, que salen a patios por acá, nos escriben sorprendidos del tiempo que haces en patios. Entonces, buenísimo. Y para quienes nos están escuchando, están interesados en estas oportunidades de salir del país para estudiar, para poder hacer intercambios, pues Fulbright, importante que también consultemos aquí la información que tenemos, ¿cierto, Daniel?
Y sí, y también olvidé mencionar que hay maneras de estudiar en los Estados Unidos para colombianos por el mismo programa, por Fulbright. Hay intercambio de estadounidenses a Colombia y intercambio para colombianos para estudiar en los Estados Unidos.
Great.
Se invita a la audiencia a revisar la oferta del Instituto Virtual de Lenguas, UNAD English, UNAD Kids, Francés, Business English, TOEFL Preparation Course, e invitamos a la audiencia a comunicarse a nuestro WhatsApp 314-488-8153 o al Skype RUVUNAD1.
Carpe diem. Upgrade yourself to life.
yo te doy la pausa, ¿listo? Okay, bueno, entonces, como les veníamos contando, hoy tenemos dos grandes temas. Hablamos un poco ya de Fulbright, ahora vamos a cambiar hacia el tema de Project Baseball. Es una fundación en la cual Daniel ha estado presente y nos va a compartir su experiencia. Tenemos dos invitados que vienen de la fundación, Justin, hello, y Nicolás Rodríguez. Entonces, Daniel, go ahead.
All right. Thank you, Carolina. So as she mentioned, we're going to talk a bit about Project Baseball, which I have mentioned on air in the past. Very important part of why I'm in Colombia and what I'm doing here. But much more important than me are the two people seated to my right. We have Justin Holliday, the president and founder of Project Baseball, and Nicolas Rodriguez, a longtime volunteer who has been a big part of its history as well. Hello, guys.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, Daniel. How are you? Thanks for having us, and thanks for everything you've done for the foundation here in Colombia.
Thank you, Justin. So, Justin, do you want to start by just introducing yourself, who you are, what Project Baseball is, and how you came to start it?
Sure. Well, we founded the foundation 11 years ago, but I guess I'll start with who I am. So I grew up in Pennsylvania, near suburbs of Philadelphia. I went to West Virginia University, where I studied abroad a few times, two times in Spain, one time in Cuba. And so I got a kind of a passion for traveling, but also Spanish, the language, and then, of course, the region. My first stop in Cuba, or my first trip in Cuba, where we studied the history and economics of Cuba in 1998, was kind of the first time I started thinking about the org and doing something to solve the problem of kids not having equipment. It's as simple as that. There were kids that wanted to play and didn't have equipment. So that was, of course, many years before I started the foundation, but it certainly planted the seed. And then I traveled after graduating in the region and started to see this trend of kids that couldn't play. And just as we know, there are plenty of talented Latino players in the big leagues. So it's not only, you know, giving access to those that all the kids, but, you know, offering potential for the kids that actually have a lot of talent. So in 2008, I decided to start Project Baseball with the mission just that of bringing equipment, collecting equipment in the United States, used and new equipment to bring to communities in Latin America, where the boys and girls wanted to play. And we started little by little, and we realized that there was an awesome opportunity to do exchange through this organization. So it became, so not only providing equipment, we decided we would start bringing volunteers from the United States down to engage with the communities and help build the programs. So that's kind of where it started. And here, well, it's a long story. In 2013, I decided to move to Colombia to focus our mission here in Colombia.
Mm-hmm. And so you've lived in Colombia since the year 2013?
Correct, yes.
It's a long, long time.
Yes, it's been a long time in Bogota. It's been great. It was the best decision I've ever made to move to Colombia. My friend kind of actually tricked me. He said we were going to start an international real estate company. Nicolas Gallo, I want to thank you for that. and he had it all set up, and so I quit my job, dumped my girlfriend, abandoned my foundation in the United States and my family, and got here. He picked me up at the airport, and he said, I have some good news and some bad news. And I said, just tell me the bad news. And he said, I already have a partner for the real estate business. So, and I can't remember what the good news was, but it certainly wasn't good enough. So I almost jumped out of the car, but years later, I realized that him tricking me into moving to Colombia was the best thing that I ever did. So,
great. That's a great story. Nico.
Yeah.
So, you're Colombian.
Yes, I am.
That's wonderful. why? Tell me why you got involved in this organization, what you saw, and what made you want to be a part of it.
Sure. Well, I used to be a baseball player at the Bogotá's Baseball League.
a couple of years ago. I've been volunteering for Project Baseball for about 5.5 years. So I used to participate in a couple events Project Baseball coordinated and managed with the U.S. Embassy. Some baseball clinics. I was a participant of the clinics, and my mom told me, like, hey, Nico, why don't you go to something useful for your life and try to make more connections and improve your skills? So that's why I decided to contact Project Baseball and Justin, and it was like, hey, I wanna see what are you guys doing. I'm a baseball player, I will also speak some English, I would like to volunteer for the foundation. And that's how it all started. As I said, it's been 5 years and it's been amazing. I don't know, I never expected to have such a great experience in all these years, in the past years, and being all around the country and some other countries in Latin America helping spread the sport, mm-hmm. and which has been amazing.
Great, thank you. So there's something I'm very glad that you brought up, and that's that you played baseball in Bogota.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes I will meet Colombians here and tell them that I work for a baseball foundation, and they'll give me like, ah, no se juega baseball in Bogota. But thank you for showing people, yes, they do play baseball
Bogota. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we actually do. Sí, jugamos baseball.
Well, yes, certainly not as much as on the coast, but there is baseball in Bogota. Project Baseball works to expand baseball in Colombia and other countries in Latin America. And recently, we've been doing a lot of work in the Department of Chocó. Justin, do you want to maybe talk about why you chose to focus on Chocó and about some of the work that Project Baseball is doing there?
Sure. Well, we were invited, as most times happens, communities that, you know, like a coach or a community leader, it could be a mother from the community, contacts us, and they reach out. They say, hey, we need help. Can we, you know, have some equipment donations? We do a process, an application process, background check. So Club 108 reached out to us, run by John Nunez and Claudia Pereira. They reached out for a couple years, and frankly, we didn't have the supplies or the resources to start out there. So they contacted us in like 2016. So finally in 2018, we got around to doing a visit out there, and it didn't take long for me to realize, one, obviously the degree of poverty. It's one of the most isolated and impoverished parts of the country, unfortunately. Although it has just beautiful, you know, wonderful beauty and plenty of resources and wonderful people. So what we saw was a lot of kids that really love to play the sport and very limited resources. So that's exactly where we come into play. So I was very impressed with our first visit. We saw the programs they are already running, and then, of course, donated equipment. One of the places they took us was Managru, Chocó, Colombia, where we met Jose Mosquera, which we may reference later, the kid mm-hmm. that, the amputee that, mm-hmm. that was playing on one leg, and we were just so impressed by him. And, of course, we visited some other places, including mm-hmm. Nuquí and Termales, where we, you know, we saw very emerging, actually out there on the coast they had never played, so we actually took the sport there for the first time. So now in Nuquí, they actually have a functional program, and we're really optimistic about that. Mm-hmm. So why we went there was because they met the criteria that we look for when deciding to help a community, and that means that they want to play and they lack the resources, but they have the capacity to manage those programs.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned Jose Mosquera, who is a Colombian from Managru, Chocó, who is very near and dear to all who are affiliated with Project Baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Do you guys maybe want to talk a little bit about who Jose is and maybe give a little bit of his story?
Sure. Well, I'll just give the intro, and I knew Nicholas would want to say some things because he spent a lot of time with Jose during his fitting process mm-hmm. for his prosthetic leg. So Jose is a young man. He's now 18. He was 17 when we met him. And he was one of the best baseball players in this town. We're talking a town of probably 1,000 to 2,000 people total, maybe 300 kids or so. And the he just stuck out. He was running faster than I can run with two legs, which is, you know, it's really sad. But
and to clarify, Jose has lost a leg.
Yes, he was. I referenced briefly. He was an amputee. He had an accident when he was 12 years old. He, unfortunately, in these a lot of these communities, the kids have to work at an early age, which is probably not legal. At 12, he was working in the mines, and the tractor flipped over, and he lost his leg, unfortunately, during that accident. He spent almost a year in Medellin recuperating and doing surgeries and returned to Managru, where he was a little behind with you know, his education and so forth, but he got back into it and he started playing sports. And, you know, just amazingly, this kid can play sports on one leg very well, like I said, better than many people with two legs. So we showed that to one of our donors, Jed Lowry with the New York Mets. He's been helping us for years. He was inspired by it. He said, how can I help? One thing led to another. I got a good deal on a prosthetic leg in Orlando. And in March, he took his first steps and threw his first baseball on two legs. And it was quite an impressive thing to see. So I think that's where I'll allow Nicholas chime in.
So, Nico, you were actually with Jose in Orlando. Just to clarify, Jed Lowry is a professional baseball player in the United States who supported us in getting this leg for Jose, an advanced prosthetic. But Nico, you were there in Orlando with Jose throughout the process as he went from having even any sort of prosthetic to a very advanced one. So do you want to talk a little bit about that experience and what the process was like?
Yeah. So after the whole exchange that I think we're going to have the chance to talk about it later, we spent a couple of weeks, like it was 16 or 17 days in the States, in Orlando, at a prosthetic center called POA. And so Jose was one of the main focus by that time and at the center. And from the very beginning, he showed all the capacity to walk back again in two legs and show his real potential to all the community, and not only in Colombia but also in the States. A lot of kids were super inspired by his ability to play baseball in one and then in two legs. So yeah, and then so from the very beginning, as I said, I want to say something. For the process for the walk again in two legs, it takes about 4 weeks, a whole month, to actually stand up from a seat and walk again. And so Jose, it was in the first week, on the fourth or fifth day, he was walking in two legs in a process that takes a month to do. So it was super impressive. Everyone was like, how's this even possible? I mean, this kid is not something that you're going to find everywhere. And that was the whole thing with Jose.
Yeah. I mean, it's really a truly incredible story. And now Jose is back in Managru leading the baseball program there. If you want to learn more about his story, síguenos in Facebook, Project Baseball, or in Instagram, @ProjectBaseball. Project in inglés, baseball en español. Y hay un video de Canal Capital, un artículo en El Espectador, si quieres aprender más sobre su historia. Bueno.
The Wall. We share because we care.
Queremos entonces agradecerles a cada uno de ustedes por haber participado, por venir, contarnos su historia, contarnos esas historias tan maravillosas de todo lo que hacen por estos chicos que lo necesitan tanto. y por darles una esperanza de vida. Eso es maravilloso. Y queremos a Cody, queremos darle las gracias pues por contarnos acerca de su experiencia y gracias por las cosas lindas que cuentas de Colombia. Eso, digamos que es muy bonito poder saber que las personas que vienen de afuera aman ese país. Entonces, ¿cómo es que nosotros a veces lo olvidamos, no? Eso es importante. Y queremos darle un saludo también a nuestra querida audiencia, todos los que están conectados con nosotros en este momento por las redes sociales y a través de la emisora.
Bueno, también agradecer a quienes nos estuvieron muy participativos por nuestro grupo de WhatsApp. Ya saben que pueden unirse en nuestras redes sociales por Facebook. Tienen allí el enlace para que nos acompañen y participen. Hoy la música la programaron nuestros oyentes, entonces muchas gracias, un saludo para todos. Recordamos la invitación para el jueves 9 de mayo, calle 53 en Bogotá, celebración del Día del Idioma de parte de INVIL, los tutores de INVIL. Vamos a tener karaoke, muestra gastronómica y tendremos recital de poesía. Entonces cocine. Allí los esperamos. Daniel nos va a compartir algo de sus saberes gastronómicos. También por aquí la profesora Joana Amante nos va a compartir algo de esos platos de la costa. Y bueno, habrán más cosas para que nos acompañen. Allí están todos bienvenidos a partir de las 4 de la tarde a 8 de la noche. Un saludo también para nuestros amigos de la UPTC que también nos escuchan. Y recuerden, nuestro programa se transmite miércoles 11 de la mañana, repetición 8 de la noche. Y también nos pueden seguir por Facebook, arroba INVIL On Air is back, Twitter, arroba INVIL On Air, Instagram, INVIL, arroba INVIL OA.
Share, enjoy, discover, practice and learn.
INVIL On Air.
Esto es RV, Radio UNAD Virtual.